إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا وسيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له، وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم تسليما كثيرا. ما بعد، قال الإمام المجدد شيخ الإسلام محمد بن عبد الوهاب رحمه الله تعالى في كتاب التوحيد، باب قول الله تعالى: أفأمنوا مكر الله فلا يأمن مكر الله إلا القوم الخاسرون، وقوله: ومن يقنط من رحمة ربه إلا الضالون. الشيخ الإمام المجدد محمد بن عبد الوهاب رحمه الله, he said in his book كتاب التوحيد a chapter, and he mentioned two ayats from the Quran. The ayah 99 in Surah Al-A'raf: أَفَأَمِنُوا مَكْرَ اللَّهِ فَلَا يَأْمَنُ مَكْرَ اللَّهِ إِلَّا الْقَوْمُ الْخَاسِرُونَ. Then did they feel secure from the plan of Allah? Did they feel secure from the plan of Allah? But no one feels secure from the plan of Allah except the losing people, or those who are doomed. And also he mentioned the ayah 65 in Surah Al-Hijr. قال تعالى: وَمَنْ يَقْنَطُ مِنْ رَحْمَةِ رَبِّهِ إِلَّا الضَّالُونَ. And who despairs of the mercy of his Lord except for those astray? And who despairs of the mercy of his Lord except for those astray? We continue reading the explanation from Al-Mulakhas fi Sharhi Kitabi Al-Tawheed. Yes.
I think they have in the book is Ayat 56.
No, but it's not sure. Yeah, it's just what it says. It is 56 here too. Did they say something else? Or? No, but it's, yes, it is 56 in Surah Al-Hijr. Still continue reading from the explanation of our noble Shaykh, Shaykh Salih al-Fawzan, Hafidhahullah, from his book Al-Mulakhas. Al-Mulakhas fi Sharhi Kitabi Al-Tawheed. أولاً يقول الشيخ: مناسبة الباب لكتاب التوحيد, the relevance of the chapter to this book, to the book of Tawheed. قال: أراد المؤلف رحمه الله بهذا الباب أن يبين أن الأمن من مكر الله والقنوط من رحمة الله من أعظم الذنوب. أراد المؤلف أي شيخ الإسلام الإمام المجدد محمد بن عبد الوهاب رحمه الله بهذا الباب أن يبين أن الأمن من مكر الله سبحانه وتعالى والقنوط, لأنه معطوف على الأمن, والقنوط من رحمة الله من أعظم الذنوب, وأن كلا منهما ينافي كمال التوحيد, وأنه يجب على المؤمن أن يجمع بين الخوف والرجاء. Read to you from the translation of this chapter. He says, in this chapter the author, which is Shaykh al-Islam Muhammad ibn Abdul Wahhab rahimahullah, elaborates on that security from the plan of Allah and despair of His mercy are two of the most deadly sins. To understand this, because this is just roughly translation, they translate to feel secure from the plan of Allah. This related mainly the ulama in other books of tafsir, who they give more explanation, because this is only concise. They mention that this apply mainly on the murji'ah and those who have the belief of the murji'ah of irja', because the irja' consists of a person, they say, as long as you believe in Allah in your heart, and that's all you need, and no actions, So, and there is so many ayats in the Quran and ahadith in the Sunnah of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam that indicate that actions are part of iman. But the murji'ah, they say, no, action is not from iman. So to them, person perform actions of worship or not, he's still a believer, complete in iman, wal'iyadu billah. So they feel secure from the punishment of Allah that is mentioned in so many ayats for those who do not pray, for those who don't give the zakat, for those who are not obedient to Allah and they don't carry out the commands of Allah. But Allah says they feel secure from the plan of Allah. And also those who despair of His mercy are two of the most deadly sins. Likewise, in those books, in the other books of tafsir of Kitab al-Tawheed, they mention that, and those who despair of the mercy of Allah, this mainly applies on the Khawarij. Because the Khawarij, they use texts of punishment, and they forget about the text of Rahmah. They forget about the text of forgiveness. So that's why to them, the Khawarij, it's if a Muslim commit a major sin, that's it, he's a kafir with them, al-iyadu billah. They don't look at the ayahs of Rahmah. Even if a person commit a shirk, not just a major sin, a shirk, but that person repents sincerely, Allah accept from him. Allah accept. If that person, before they die in this life, they repent to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and they become, alhamdulillah, Muslims, and upon tawheed, Allah accept from them. Khawarij, they don't do this, al-iyadu billah. So he said in this chapter, the author elaborates on that security from the plan of Allah and despair of His mercy are two of the most deadly sins, or the great sins. Are two of the most great sins, since each of them violates the perfection of Tawheed, of monotheism. And besides, the author points out that a believer is duty-bound to combine fear and hope in his relation to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. While worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the believer has to combine between these two, fear of and hope, fearing the punishment of Allah and hoping for His mercy. And as Shaykh Ibn Uthaymeen rahimahu ta'ala, he mentioned that, and he quotes statement of Ibn al-Qayyim as well, rahimahu Allah, that fear and hope for the believer are like the two wings of a bird. A bird cannot fly without wings. He need both of them. Likewise, the believer need both fear and hope. Don't rely on fear like the Khawarij and forget about, because this will make the people give up. You see? They will, whenever they commit a sin, they think that's it, they're done. La, there is the mercy of Allah. Tawbah, alhamdulillah. And likewise, we don't be from those who rely only on hope. Allah is merciful, alhamdulillah. But they don't act in obedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When they are reminded, they only mention the ayats of mercy and forgiveness, and they forget about the ayats of punishment. That and Allah warned His servants against the punishment that He has prepared for the rebellious, for the disobedience and the like. But the believer should combine between the two. Between the two. Al-ma'na al-ijmali. And the Shaykh Fawzan al-Hawata'ala, he explained, what does it mean, makrullah? قال مكر الله هو استدراجه مكر الله هو استدراجه العبد بالنعم إذا عصى وإملاؤه له حتى يأخذه أخذ عزيز مقتدر أخذ عزيز مقتدر. He said, what this the plan of Allah to understand it more? He says, this refers to Allah's bestowal of grace on those who disobey Him. You see, on those who disobey Him, He also prolonged their lifespan. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the exalted and glorified, pronounces a decree of eternal damnation on them. These are people, sometimes for us, we Muslims, subhanAllah, we have to really thank Allah for guiding us to Islam. Because this life is going to end. The whole life is going to end. And our lives and our journey on it will end. Sooner or later, we just don't know when. But it's going to end. We're not on this earth forever. So we shouldn't be from those who, they look at those who are disobeying Allah, especially kuffar, and the people who they just Muslim by affiliation, but they disobeying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They're not obedient, but still they healthy, strong, got beautiful children, and they got drive better cars, live in better homes. Actually, they have money and wealth. And some people think that those people really are, they having fun and they happy and look, they fortunate like they say. But in reality, it's not the case. Anyone who turns away from the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah tells us about them. وَمَنْ أَعْرَضَ عَنْ ذِكْرِي فَإِنَّ لَهُ مَعِيشَةً ضَنْكًا. And whoever turns away from my remembrance, whoever turns away from obedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah said, that person have nothing but a life of hajj. Sheikh Fawzani says, don't be deceived by their fake smiles and by the wealth they have. Anyone who is not obedient to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, regardless what they what may look, they happy, having fun, vacation to another and this, said they are not happy. Because Allah tells us about them. They have nothing but a life of hardship. Because money doesn't buy you joy. You can buy the most, those people can buy the most expensive mattress on earth, but it's not guaranteed that will come with one good night of sleep. Because what brings ease and rest to the person is the remembrance of Allah, is obedience to Allah. الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَتَطْمَئِنُّ قُلُوبُهُمْ بِذِكْرِ اللَّهِ أَلَا بِذِكْرِ اللَّهِ تَطْمَئِنُّ الْقُلُوبُ. Those who believe and their hearts feel at ease or rest with the remembrance of Allah, for indeed, with the remembrance of Allah, do hearts feel at ease. So here the Shaykh explained to us, alhamdulillah, what is the makr Allah? What is the plan of Allah here? He says that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He gives this dunya to certain people who are not obeying Him. People who disobey Allah, but Allah gave them. Alhamdulillah, you want it here. MashaAllah. He gave them. But then, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sees them with a painful torment. Sometimes, subhanAllah, the tricks of the shaitan. Sometimes you find a person, he has a gas station or two or three, selling all types of things besides gas. Liquor, magazines, filthy magazines, cigarettes, duchies, and all of that. And who knows, his house is a mortgage, maybe he has a couple of them. And then you see his family, they're not on the path, he's not on the path. And then when someone comes talking, he says, man, look, hey, I'm okay with Allah. Look, Allah gave me all this, man. Look, Allah is merciful, generous. No, this is not this istidraj. وَالْعِيَادُ بِاللَّهِ المعنى الإجمالي للآيتين. Then the Shaykh mentioned the general meaning of these two verses. قَالَ يُذَكِّرُ اللَّهُ سُبْحَانَهُ أَوْ يَذْكُرُ اللَّهُ سُبْحَانَهُ حَالَ أَهْلِ الْقُرَى يَذْكُرُ اللَّهُ سُبْحَانَهُ حَالَ أَهْلِ الْقُرَى الْمُكَذِّبِينَ لِلرُّسُلِ أَنَّ الَّذِي حَمَلَهُمْ عَلَى تَكْذِيبِهِمْ هُوَ الْأَمْنُ مِنْ إِسْتِدْرَاجِ اللَّهِ لَهُمْ وعدم الخوف منه فتمادوا في المعاصي والمخالفات واستبعدوا الاستدراج من الله وهذه حال الهالكين. So that Allah the exalted subhanahu wa ta'ala, He mentioned in these two verses the states of the people of the towns who denied the messengers. This is their stories in the Quran, Surah Al-A'raf. Who denied the messengers. As you know, every single messenger, when he brought the haqq, a lot of people denied the haqq. Only few people believe in the prophets and the messengers. At the moment when the prophets and the messengers began to call to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, very few people believed in them, and many people go against them. So Allah here subhanahu wa ta'ala talking about the peoples of the towns, Ahlul Qura, who denied the messengers, depicting that the reason why they did that was that they feel secure from being gradually drawn into eternal damnation by Allah and did not fear Him. And Allah gave us examples. Like the people of Ad and the people of Thamud, they say, we're strong. They were so arrogant and they don't fear, they don't have any fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So even when their messengers and prophets tell them about the torment of Allah, أَخَافُ عَلَيْكُمْ عَذَابَ يَوْمٍ عَظِيمٍ, like Nuh alayhi salam said to his people, and many messengers, they said to their people, those who are arrogant and disbelief in Allah and the message of Allah, then they say, we're strong, you see, we're mighty. Even some of them say, bring that torment now if you're truthful. Bring the torment now if you're truthful. Because they are, because they secure, they feel secure of the from the punishment of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So that's why they went too far in their disobedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and did not expect any punishment from Him at all. They even say to their messenger, you liars, ain't nothing coming, no punishment. And this is exactly the state of those who are predestined to ruin and destruction, وَلْيَعْدِ بِاللَّهِ. وَفِي الْآيَةِ الثَّانِيَةِ, that's for the first verse. فِي الْآيَةِ الثَّانِيَةِ يَحْكِي اللَّهُ عَنْ خَلِيلِهِ إِبْرَاهِيمِ عَلَيْهِ السَّلَامِ أنه لما بشرته الملائكة بولده إسحاق عليه السلام استبعد ذلك على كبر سنه فقالت له الملائكة فلا تكن من القانطين أي الآيسين فأجابهم بأنه ليس بقانط لكنه قال ذلك على وجه التعجب In the second verse in Surah Al-Hijr, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us the story of Ibrahim, his Khalil Ibrahim. When the angels brought him good tidings that his wife would give birth to the prophet Ishaq alayhi salam, Ibrahim alayhi salam at that time thought that this is something, as they say it, impossible, but I'm looking for a better term or translation here. Because the prophets don't think stuff is impossible, because these are prophets of Allah. But since he was very old, he's old, and his wife was like that, and naturally and normally, when the people are old, they don't even think about having children. You see? That's why I'm not using this word impossible that they use here in this translation. So, being of old age, usually people, men don't think that his wife is going to be pregnant. But Allah is able to do all things. You know, women, they reach the menopause. Okay, that's what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is how Allah creates women. But if Allah wants that woman on menopause to get pregnant, she will get pregnant. Because Allah is able to do all things. So when the angels, that Allah sent to Ibrahim to give him the news, because they were sent to the people of Lot with the punishment, but also they give the glad tidings to Ibrahim alayhi salam. After an old age, they give him the news of this prophet, that his wife, Sarah, will be pregnant. Ajib, he was amazed. She was amazed as well, his wife. And they said to her, أَتَعْجَبِينَ مِنْ أَمْرِ اللَّهِ, are you amazed of the decree of Allah? This is Allah's command. But she explained, she said, I am very old, and my husband is old too. You see? But the angel, they said to Ibrahim alayhi salam, so do not be of those who despair, the despairing ones. So Ibrahim alayhi salam replied that he was not of the desperate, and asserted that he was only astonished by the good thing, tidings. So he was astonished by it. Because sometimes, given the circumstances, like in this case, the age, his wife's age, they weren't expecting that good tidings. And they were astonished. He was amazed and astonished with this news that at this age, now his wife is going to be pregnant. So we never despair from the mercy of Allah. And this teaches us this great lesson that even if you going down the wire like we say, but still, Allah is able to do all things. And look at the prophets, alayhim salatu wasalam, our noble prophets, sallallahu alayhi wasalam. We have so many incidents when if you really think deeply and put yourself at that moment. Okay? Look in the battles of the Prophet ﷺ, the ghazawat that he took. Some of them, subhanAllah, you were like they were facing death. And many companions died in front of the Prophet ﷺ, like in Ghazwat Uhud. That the pagans there, that's it. There is nothing but one man between them and between the Prophet ﷺ. Actually, he was struck, the Prophet ﷺ. His armor was broken. They hit him in his head and he was bleeding, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Right? And actually a piece of metal was in his cheek, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Can you imagine? At that moment, when companions are dying in front of him, one after the other, when others took a flight, you see? But still, victory comes from Allah, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So if you are upon taqwa, upon obedience to Allah, subhanahu wa ta'ala, you're going through some hardship, alhamdulillah. Don't look at the material things, it's like, I'm done. No, you're not done. You're a servant of Allah, you're obedient to Allah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protects His believing slaves. Likewise in here, sometimes you may find a man and a woman, they've been married for years, and then no children. And 10 years, 15, 20, 25 years of marriage, no children whatsoever. And then they see other young couples, they get married after them and have twins and this, and they're like, subhanAllah, that's it, we're done. No, we know stories of people, they get pregnant later on. No. Brother, I know this brother, he was married and he always, subhanAllah, make dua. Finally, his wife, she got pregnant with three, not just one. You see? Allah gave him three at one time. And he was so happy. So happy. And he came with a greater responsibility now. He told me, subhanAllah, we were like, now whenever you put one to sleep, the other to wake up. I was like, see? Be grateful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. ما يستفاد من الآيتين, the lessons drawn from these two verses. أولا في الآية الأولى التحذير من الأمن من مكر الله وأنه من أعظم الذنوب. In the first verse contains an admonition against feeling secure from the plan of Allah. And that is from the major sins. Naam, it is, as in other places says, it is from the great sins and major sins. So, a believer never say, look, man, I have the punishment of Allah, don't come this way. No. You, as long as in your dunya, you have to feel for the punishment of Allah. And you have to feel for yourself. Alhamdulillah, we pray, we believe in Allah, we remember Allah, when we thank Allah for guiding us to the path of the Salaf. But none of us, don't let the shaitan come to your head and say, that's it, I'm saved, I'm in Jannah already. No, don't. Don't be afraid. Look, Imam Ahmad, rahimahullah, Imam Ahli Sunnah, when he was, they said, when he was dying, and he's the Imam in his time of the A'imma. And when he's dying, as his son Abdullah was saying to him something, but then his father was fainting and he says, La, not yet, not yet. And then when he regained consciousness, he said to him, Father, why you were saying, not yet? He says, why? He says, because I was telling you, say la ilaha illallah, and you tell me, say, you saying not yet. He says, I wasn't talking to your son. I was talking to shaitan. He's coming to me and telling me, Futani ya Ahmed. He says, at that moment, he says, Shaitan telling Ahmed, Imam Ahmed, I said, man, I can't do nothing with you, man. You're in Jannah, that's it. You see? I can't do nothing with you, Ahmed. I can't deceive you. But Imam Ahmed said to him, yeah, you're right about that. You see? No, he said to him, not yet, man. I'm still in this dunya. You know, not yet. So don't you think just because you memorize a couple of juz and this, that's it, alhamdulillah, you make tahajjud a couple of nights straight, fast Monday and Thursday, now some people may think, that's it. No, it's not. That's a good thing. No, we compete one another to do good, but you got to do both. Do good and be afraid of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And there are people, akhi, that in the past, they used to be subhanAllah, high power people in knowledge and this and that, but they turned. Like this man, Imran ibn Hittan. This man, he was a student of the companions and this and that. Okay? Until he married this woman from the Khawarij. And some of the Sahaba warned him. They said, don't marry her, man, she's a trouble. He says, no, I'm going to call her to Allah and this and that. And I'm gonna bring her back to the way of the Salaf and the way of the Sahaba. They said, look, man, don't do that. He didn't listen. She turned him to be from the Khawarij. And he praises actually the man who killed Ali. The man who killed Ali, he praises him with lines of poetry. So we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala firmness upon the path. Barakallahu fikum. Number two. في الآية الثانية التحذير من القنوط من رحمة الله وأنه من أعظم الذنوب. Likewise, the benefit number two, as related to the second verse, likewise is a warning, an admonition against despairing of the mercy of Allah. You never despair of the mercy of Allah. A believer doesn't despair of the mercy of Allah. And it is also considered from the greatest sins and a major sin. ثالثا في الآيتين أنه يجب على المؤمن أن يجمع بين الخوف والرجاء فلا يغلب جانب الرجاء فيأمن مكر الله ولا يغلب جانب الخوف فييأس من رحمة الله. That in the two verses point out that a believer is duty bound to equally combine fear and hope in worshiping Allah. Thus one should not depend only on hope so as not to feel secure from the plan of Allah, nor should he only fear Allah till he despairs of His mercy. Number four, أن الخوف والرجاء من أنواع العبادة التي يجب إخلاصها لله وحده لا شريك له. That fear and hope are two acts of worship. And they are actions of worship of the heart, which a believer must purely dedicate to Allah, who has no partner, subhanahu wa ta'ala. وعن ابن عباس رضي الله عنهما أن رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم سئل عن الكبائر فقال الشرك بالله واليأس من روح الله والأمن من مكر الله. وعن ابن مسعود رضي الله عنه قال أكبر الكبائر الإشراك بالله والأمن من مكر الله والقنوط من رحمة الله واليأس من روح الله. رواه عبد الرزاق. Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu says, the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was asked about the major sins. And he said, they are associating others in worship with Allah, despairing of relief from Allah, and feeling secure from the plan of Allah. Also Ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu said, the major sins are associating others in worship with Allah, feeling secure from the plan of Allah, despairing of the mercy of Allah, and despairing of relief from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, relayed by Abdul Razzaq. أولا قال الشيخ الكبائر جمع كبيرة وهي كل ذنب توعد الله صاحبه بنار أو لعنة أو غضب أو عذاب أو نفي الإيمان أو رتب الله عليه حدا في الدنيا. First of all, Sheikh Saleh Al-Fawzan gave us a definition, a brief definition of what is a major sin. Al-Kabair is the plural of kabira, a major sin. What is it? How do you know this is a major sin? There is some signs. For example, you find that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala prescribed a penalty in this life for the one who committed such a sin. Okay? That's a kabira, like the one who steals. There is a punishment, prescribed punishment for that. Zina, there is a punishment, prescribed punishment for that. And likewise. Or threatens to cast him into the hellfire. Okay, that's likewise a sign for a kabira. Or to inflict his curse or his wrath on such a person. Or declares him to be bereaved of sincere faith in him. So, these are signs from the signs that shows that this is a major sin. المعنى الإجمالي للحديث ذكر رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم في هذا الحديث أن كبائر الذنوب هي أن يجعل لله سبحانه شريك في ربوبيته أو عبوديته وبدأ به لأنه أعظم الذنوب وقطع الرجاء والأمل من الله لأن ذلك إساءة ظن بالله وجهل بسعة رحمته والأمن من استدراجه للعبد بالنعم حتى يأخذه على غرة وليس المراد بهذا الحديث حصر الكبائر فيما ذكر لأن الكبائر كثيرة لكن المراد بيان أكبرها كما يفيده أثر ابن مسعود الذي ساقه المؤلف بعده. The general meaning that the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم highlights some of the major sins, such as associating others with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in His rububiyyah, His lordship, and His uluhiyyah, His worship. So Allah has no co-equals, and also no one deserves that any act of worship to be devoted for that person other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this sin, shirk, is mentioned first as it is the most deadly sin, the most great sin, الشرك هو أعظم الذنوب وهو أعظم ما نهى الله عنه. And it is the one that the greatest of all prohibitions is shirk, associating partners with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in worship. Also to despair of the mercy of relief and hope from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Person, a believer never say, "Look, we're done, man, ain't nothing coming our way." Udu billah. We don't know. It's coming, but you don't see it. You don't say it's not coming. No, the mercy, the help from Allah and the relief will come. Allah promised the believers. But when it comes, that's not for me or you. Be patient. Continue to do what you're doing. The relief is coming. Don't despair and say, "No, it's not coming, and please do it our way." Your way is better than Allah's way. A'udhu billah. The believer doesn't take this route. The believer is patient. And you find certain people, because they are not founded in Tawheed, they fall into big mistake. They're Muslims, Salafi, blah, blah. And then when they Allah test them, instead to be patient and take the proper channel and do what's pleasing to Allah, that's it. Couple hours later, he's searching for his peace and go do it his way. He go do it his way instead to be patient, endure with patience. No, I don't want to do it their way, and go get themselves in further trouble, riyadu billah. So to despair of the mercy of Allah and the relief of Allah, as it is an act of mistrust in Allah. People not thinking good about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If a person says, Allah, I nothing coming, that's thinking bad about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. An ignorance of His great mercy. This person is ignorant of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And remember that the believer believes with certainty that the mercy of Allah embraces all things. Allah is able to do all things. Thirdly, to feel secure from the plan of Allah. Indeed, this is one of the things that Prophet ﷺ mentioned in this hadith. In this case, the person is bestowed Allah's favors. Like Allah bestowed His favors on this person. Then Allah suddenly overtakes him by pronouncing a decree of eternal damnation on him. So let not this life deceive you, Ya Abdullah. Especially those people who are disobeying Allah. Those who disobey Allah and they flourish, their business is flourishing, they get more money, they get stronger bodies and more children. Don't be deceived by them. Okay? Allah giving them this dunya so that when He sees them with a painful torment. Shaykh Fawzan Hawta'ala said, however, this hadith does not mention all the major sins, for they are many. Okay? It's not doesn't mean somebody take this hadith now and say, oh, this is the major sins? That's it? Three of them or four? No. There are so many other major sins. But rather points out the most great ones. As Ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu stated in the Athar. مناسبة الباب للحديث أنه يدل على أن الأمن من مكر الله واليأس من رحمته من كبائر الذنوب. The Shaykh said this hadith indicates that feeling secure from the plan of Allah and despairing of His mercy are of the major sins. And lastly, what is some of the benefits of this hadith? أولا تحريم الأمن من مكر الله واليأس من رحمته وأنهما من أكبر الكبائر كما عليه المرجئة والخوارج. Number one, it is prohibited to feel secure from Allah's plan. Likewise, it is prohibited to despair of His mercy. سبحانه وتعالى. These two sins are of the most deadly ones, the first of which is committed by the Murji'a. They're the one who feels secure from the plan of Allah. The Murji'a, Allah, they do commit major sins and they think it's okay. Nah, the mercy of Allah. Allah is Ghafoor. Nah. And the second one is related to the Khawarij wal iyadu billah. Number two, أن الشرك أعظم الذنوب وأكبر الكبائر. That ascribing partners with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the greatest of all sins. And the greatest of all major sins, actually. It's a major sin, but this is the greatest of all major sins. ثالثا أن الواجب على العبد أن يكون بين الخوف والرجاء فإذا خاف فلا ييأس وإذا رجا لا يأمن. إذا خاف لا ييأس. نعم يخاف المؤمن لكن لا ييأس. ويرجو الله لكن لا يأمن مكر الله. That a Muslim is to be in a moderate state between fearing Allah and hoping for His mercy subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's what the believer do. That's what the Muslim. He has this balance, combined between fear and hope. Naam, he fears Allah, fears the punishment of Allah, but also he hopes for the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So therefore, he should fear Allah without despair of His mercy, and hope in His mercy without feeling secure from his plan. So the believer, he fear Allah, but don't let the shaitan come to him and play this trick, or you're done. I said, nothing. Why this salat, man? You're doing all of this. It's not going to be a benefit for you. And it make him even give up ibadah wal-iyadu billah. La. The believer, he continue to be obedient, even we wrong ourselves, but we continue to carry out the commands of Allah, because that's what's going to help us. We don't give up. We don't say that I'm done. No, you're not done. As long as you're alive, alhamdulillah, our Lord is merciful. And His mercy encompasses all things. There is not a sin that Allah cannot forgive. Allah says, يَغْفِرُ الذُّنُوبَ جَمِيعًا قُلْ يَا عِبَادِيَ الَّذِينَ أَسْرَفُوا عَلَى أَنفُسِهِمْ لَا تَقْنَطُوا مِنْ رَحْمَةِ اللَّهِ إِنَّ اللَّهَ يَغْفِرُ الذُّنُوبَ جَمِيعًا إِنَّهُ هُوَ الْغَفُورُ الرَّحِيمُ Surah Az-Zumar. Say, O Muhammad s.a.w. to my slaves who wrong themselves, not the one who commit one sin or two here or there. No, those who wrong themselves constantly with sins. What Allah says, so tell those, never despair from the mercy of Allah. For indeed, Allah forgive all sins. Allahu Akbar. Shirk, Allah forgive shirk. Naam. If somebody come from church and they worship Jesus, I don't know who they worship. And another person, a Buddhist, he worship Buddha. Then another person worship rats in here, one worship a cow over there, and then what? And person worship the jinn, and whatever, then they come, what we tell? They said, look man, we want to be a Muslim, we want to worship Allah. Nobody can tell him, what? You worship Jesus, and Buddha, and the jinn, and this, and nah, you're out, man, nah. No, we can't say that. We're going to be happy and say, alhamdulillah, doesn't matter what you've been doing before. Yes, you can worship Allah. Then he's going to ask a question, Allah will forgive me all these things? Naam. Yes, Allah says in the Quran, He forgave all sins. Doesn't matter what you were upon. Now all it matters, leave everything alone. And worship none but Allah. Allah will forgive you, you see? The ignorant person is like, what? You worship Jesus? And Buddha too? You're done, man. A'udhu billah. That's an ignorant person. You remember the story of the man who killed 99 people? And then they sent him to a monk. Monk does nothing but worship. People are playing and enjoying themselves. He's worshiping Allah. But then he didn't have knowledge of Allah. So when this person who killed 99, and he came to him, and he says, is there any tawbah? The ulama, when they explain, he says, "Ista'adham al-dhanb." That monk, he looked at the magnitude of the sin, but he forget about the mightiness of Allah. And he said to that man, "Hey, you're done, man. There is no tawbah for you. After killing 99, now you're asking for tawbah? What that person do? He killed him. You see? He killed him. But then he went back and said, look man, you're going to send me to someone who has knowledge. They send him to an alim. He knows Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And he said to him, now look man, he killed 100 now, not just 99. But that man said to him, "Who's nothing can between you and Tawbah. You want to repent? MashaAllah, you killed all these people? Repent." You see, that's the ilm. Likewise, when people come to you, you may know somebody who's been doing very bad. Person, I'm Muslim, alhamdulillah, have a Muslim name, but they don't pray. They took shahada, or maybe they're born as a Muslim. Maybe he's an Arab, so what? You think the Arabs are exempt from this? No. He's an Arab from Pakistan, born a Muslim, in a Muslim country, or somebody who, mashallah, Allah guide his heart to Islam. But they struggle, they doing drugs, I don't know what they're doing. They're into so many trouble. But if he comes, any one of those come to any one of us, we help them. Say, yes, akhi, no problem. Yes, you can come to the masjid. You think the brothers are going to accept me? Yeah, why can't we accept you? If Allah accepts his tawbah, why? See, that's the problem. A person wants to be good Muslim, he comes to the masjid, and they're like, what are you doing here? A'udhu billah. What are we doing here? Should be happy. Ya akhi, barzakallah khair. Don't worry about what you've been doing. Thank Allah you didn't die in the streets. You see? That's you give them some encouragement. Don't worry. Allah says in the Quran, the Prophet said this, you're here in the house of Allah, akhi. You never know. That person, he may just come and pray dhuhr, go outside and get shot. Maybe somebody waiting for him outside because of his life. Alhamdulillah, he made a tawbah. Can you imagine people say to him, you're on nobody. Now, don't come to this masjid anymore. So you got to make a difference between someone who's coming and asking for his want. Akhi, what can I do? You know me. I've been out there. Now you got to help them. Not like an arrogant person. There are two different things. If an arrogant person want to come and bring trouble to the masjid, yes, the people in charge of the masjid, they will talk to him and say, don't bring that nonsense in here. I will do whatever I want to do, man. No, they said, look, this is the house of Allah. These are not the streets. And beside the point, you're a Muslim. You don't do whatever you want to do. Okay? But we don't have no authority in the streets. But here, you don't bring that stuff in the masjid, okay? See, I just have to mention this. There's not anybody who comes to the masjid, or alhamdulillah, no. A mubtadi', somebody who is upon bid'ah and innovation, for instance. Years, you know, this person calling to tabligh, sufiya, khawarij, this. But one day he comes, where is the imam? And he comes to the imam and the masjid, look, man, you know me. You have any right to reject me right now. If you don't want to talk to me, I understand. But look, let me at least say why I'm here. I'm wrong, man. I used to warn against you and against the Salafis, and I used to say you guys are crazy and this. But look, man, alhamdulillah, now I want the haqq. I want to be on. What you're on? That imam will be happy. If he talks to me, I'll be very happy. And we assist that person. But it's different than some arrogant come in here and give us a fake smiles, but then he stabs the people in the back. Huh? He's going to go in the parking lot and say, don't listen to this guy, man. Don't listen to him. You're going to do this. The way you do this. And what are you talking about? Listen to what? What we are saying? We're saying the haqq. If we're saying something wrong, come to the plate and correct us, inshallah. That's what the Muslims do. Correct each other. They don't come over here and give us... Nah, it happens in communities. Give you a fake smile, but then they will start warning, don't sit there, don't, nam. Tablighis come, and they give salam, and then they'll go and look at the other people, and they're like, don't listen to those, them. They're not upon the haqq, come with us, you know. Likewise, the khawarij, they come, give a smile, and alhamdulillah, ya hayakallah, then they start getting one another, don't, come with us, we're trying to do some damage. You see? Those people, if we know about them, if we have any authority in the masjid, we're going to use it. And we to protect our brothers and our families from that imminent danger. A tablighi will come here and take some of our youth and we just live and we're happy with that. No, we're not happy. A khariji who wants to cause some harm to the people by explosions or whatever it is, or kidnapping, and we're just going to like let him go with it? No, at least we're going to do something about it. So it's very important, ya akhwan, barakallahu fikum, to pay attention to these things. If someone, alhamdulillah, whatever what they do, what they did before, but if they come to us, they come to the masjid, and they want to do what is pleasing to Allah, we help them to the best of our ability. But if someone playing games, then we lead the people who are in charge, tell them, look, this man, like one guy once, he came here a couple months ago, and he come here, smile, hayyak, Allah, salam, salam. But then, he goes to the youth and tell them, Jesus is the Lord. A'udhu billah. Imam Khalifa, he mentioned something and he warned against him. And jazahullah khairan. After talking to him, and a couple of people meet, also talk to that person. But that person, it turns out that he has something wrong with him. But we have to tell our people, look, don't listen to this guy. And because you know, but other people, young people, they don't know, man. Oh, if you love Jesus, it's like you're loving Allah. Is it the same? No, it's not the same. It's not the same. Yeah, we love Jesus, but we love Allah more than we love Jesus. And it's not the same. You call on Jesus and call on Allah. That's shirk. So it's very important for us to remember this. Barakallahu feekum wa jazakumullahu khairan. Wa sallallahu wa sallam ala Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa sallama tasliman kathira.